where he is attempting to merge technology with the flesh, where people have these garish wounds that are sort of fleshy. In Existenz, there's this almost like a little port on people's bellies, I think.
That you spine could, and back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, spine and back. You could
Videodrome's front.
Plug. And then, yes, in Videodrome, he's able to, like, he sticks his hand in his stomach and pulls out a gun or puts a gun in his stomach.
The videotape scene is especially my favorite.
Yeah, and it's still great. It's it's great, but he kind of walks out. He's not too he doesn't seem concerned about the suspension of disbelief with these flesh with the flesh, and it seems to me that, you know, I'm sure they try their best to do a great makeup job, but it always just looks like this putty on a person's face or putty on their back, you know, their spine. It just looks fake, and it seems to me that Cronenberg is saying, I don't really care that you know this is fake. Like, we're all in agreement that this is fiction and it's not real. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like positing this narrative that you can then sort of go with, and if you can't suspend your disbelief, then tough luck. Yeah. Just, you know, anyway, I don't know.
That's a really astute observation you just made, and I think that might be the link, because there's links between Cronenberg's work, even films that seem completely unrelated to other ones. There's a thread that runs through his movies. Like you could say that, not all of them, but like you said, they deal with the flesh, and they deal with both the beauty, the ghastliness, and the way that it's almost like our sin. But he's not that cheap. He doesn't go on levels that easily perceived. I think it's just these themes. My favorite filmmakers are filmmakers that have themes that consistently run through their work, through the totality of their career.
Well, I would say that most auteur filmmakers, let's say, that would be.
Well, Steven Spielberg, you know, like how he's obsessed with like that. Not sure. Obsessed, but he has like the childlike sense of wonder and awe. That's a consistent motif, whether he's producing or directing.
Sure.
It's something. It's even in Men in Black, it has that. It has that ability to bring you back to being 9 years old.
Yeah.
Cronenberg has that ability to thoroughly psychologically and spiritually disgust, while also, you know, making you laugh at the same time, because it's so over the top. It's like one part. I can't remember if it's Rob Bottin or Rob Bowden. He uses those flesh putty effects. He uses latex effects rather than going the route of like CGI. But there's two scenes in History of Violence, which was the first film that I could remember there being like blatant CGI. Existenz used more potent special effects than I could remember seeing in any film before Cronenberg film before that. And it seems like he's pushing the line on himself while also remaining the same. He's still Cronenberg. And A Dangerous Method was a real far departure from what I think, because there's not a single horror aspect to the film. But the idea of horror, it was really interesting. Anthony Mann, the film critic at The New Yorker, wrote about this different kind of horror, about the horror of aging, and how Amour was a different kind of horror film, because it was this film about watching this man and this woman who absolutely loved each other, and the dissolution of a relationship, and how the look on his face as he was watching his wife crumble was a totally new type of horror film that had never existed before.
Well, let me just jump in and say horror has become a genre probably since the novels of
Lovecraft, Stoker,
Poe, Edgar Allan Poe. Yep. I would guess that, you know, if you were to read up on it, but I'm sure there's probably some things that predate Edgar Allan Poe, and also we're talking about Western society, it's become a codified genre. And so when we say horror, we mean this codified genre. And what you're suggesting, Gabe, is that Amor is another kind of horror. By saying Amor is another kind of horror is a little bit like saying, I can't think of a great example, but let's say it would be a little bit like if taking transcendental meditation is a new kind of roller coaster. I mean, it's such a different.
No, I hear you.
such a different experience that it doesn't even. They're just.
It doesn't.
They
it
don't
doesn't
have anything
up.
In common.
Absolutely.
Because then you could also say, Bowling for Columbine is another kind of horror. Mm-hmm. A documentary on the Holocaust is another kind of horror.
Which
yes,
it is.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Of course it
the
is.
The horror exists in many, many ways.
But that the horror
film
genre.
It's not codified
it doesn't have
as
to be
a genre.
Absolutely.
It's a million miles away from being codified as a genre. The closest thing would be, you know, maybe something like the scene in The Shining where the woman in the bathtub is all of a sudden aged and it's horrifying or maybe some David Lynch scenes where, you know, if David Lynch somehow introduced the horror of aging into his, into a film, then I could see it being codified as part of the horror genre.
And hold on, Gabe, cause I got to say
must,
this.
You must, you
yeah,
must.
Yeah. Cause I have to, and were you done, Zav?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would say I understand what you're saying about that, you know, with the you talk about horror as a core, and then in the peripheral way of looking at it, you can draw so many other genres and things in that it's worthless to call Amor a horror. But it is a potentially a slow horror. But again, you guys just covered it. Mm-hmm. So I want to when you guys kept repeating the word horror, I had the great good fortune of going to see the author of horror speak, Adam Rockoff, and his new book is entitled The Horror of It All. And this is an incredible coincidence. It is an immensely readable book on the horror genre, and he was just here in Milwaukee. And if you gentlemen will allow me to briefly explain.
Of course.
Boswell Book Company, the great book company here in Milwaukee. It's like River West Radio. It's River West Film and Video. It's a vital cultural nexus of the community. My heart would break in a million pieces if this when Zav was indicating a potential non-longevity, and I just not good. I'll put it that way. And then we. Have the radio station emerging and so on and so
and
forth.
And popcorn time.
Well, no, dude. And I am just so happy and thankful on a daily basis that that River West Film and Video continues to thrive, and now that River West Radio is firmly entrenched in here, because it would just be literally ripping out the heart of River West. And so, Zav, a million, million heartfelt thanks, not in just in a time of, oh, my God, but when the times are decent now, thank you so much for doing this, because this would rip the River West
to
shreds
culture.
It's what
Brando was talking about at the end of Apocalypse Now.
Yeah,
it would be the horror.
It would be. And it would
that's
be,
the horror.
It would be like gravity all of a sudden just stopping dead in its track on Earth and everything went haywire.
Let's bring this back to media for a second, because this is a media. If there's any tying thread between River West Radio and River West Film and Video, it's media. River West Radio is a media generating, content generating platform, let's say. And then River West Film and Video is a content distribution medium platform. And so that's the two things they have in common. Otherwise, I mean, there's obviously music, sound, and audio, lots of oral stimulation in a DVD, but it's mostly visual stimulation. And then River West Radio is, of course, an oral experience. And there is a visual element. But those things are all merging. They're all collapsing together. I've said this many times, that the difference between CBS News, the New York Times, CBS, the New York Times, National Public Radio, up until the 1980s, these were very distinct things. Mm-hmm. You went to National Public Radio to listen to the radio. You went to the New York Times to read your newspaper at the in the morning or on your way to work on the subway and so on. Mm-hmm. And you tuned into CBS to watch the news, watch entertainment.